I think one of the things a company can do is understand their values and understand what they represent before pushing technology out or pushing solutions out to thousands of their employees.
Welcome to Digital Mindfulness. That was Aidan Healy, co-founder of Unplug, a company that works with a wide range of organizations to maximize employee productivity and reduce tech stress. Its goal is for employees to get the positive benefits that technology provides whilst also minimizing the negatives of tech overload by delivering keynotes, workshops, and also coaching. In this fascinating episode, Aidan's going to talk with us about the changing nature of the digitized workplace, how employees face the challenge of technology saturation, and the various ways companies can help employees overcome tech stress to do their best work. I hope you enjoy this episode with Aidan Healy. Aidan, welcome to Digital Mindfulness. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show, finally.
Thank you very much, Lawrence. It's a real pleasure to be here.
So Aidan, tell us a little bit about who you are and in particular, how you came to be working on Unplug.
Yeah, so I'm a psychologist by background, and I guess as a psychologist, I've always been interested in questions, you know, around why human beings are the way we are. What are the things around us that shape the way we think, feel, behave, act, communicate with one another? And I think when you look at, you know, what makes us individuals, we often think about things like maybe our family background, the culture, the jobs we have, etc. And I suppose I really started to notice the influence technology was having on our day-to-day lives, and as well, how much more time we were all spending on technology as a day-to-day basis. That really led me to kind of an interest in online mental health, as we called it a number of years ago. And also, I suppose it also led me to meeting Chris, you know, Unplug's other co-founder. I think it kind of all began because we both felt this adaptation to new technology, this transformation we were going through, wasn't just bringing about benefits. It came with unintended consequences, or it didn't transfer to the ideals people were hoping for. I was kind of coming at that from a psychology background. Chris was coming at from his background more in IT transformation and rollouts of large digital projects. And so that really sowed the seeds for Unplug. And I guess our intention was we want to have a voice. We want to have an avenue for us to speak about this, for us to bring this message to individuals, to organizations. This was all, I suppose, really started small in 2015. But since that time, Unplug has grown. Since then, we've worked with about 50 organizations throughout Europe. And the majority of our work would now be facilitation and consulting. So we work with organizations on their digital culture, on the human side of their technology, or really looking at the consequences that technology is having on their corporate culture or their employees, and what positive changes they might be able to make with that.
That's really interesting because I guess in the time since we last spoke with Chris and of course Unplug, I'm interested to know now, because you were talking about company culture in relation to technology. So how would you say the digital workplace landscape has changed, particularly with respect to, I guess, human productivity and then their relation to technology?
Yeah, I think there's probably three big trends I've noticed. Number one is given what's happening in the media and in the public conversation around technology, people are much more open. They're much more familiar with the conversation. We kind of have to spend less time explaining what Unplug is and what it does and why people should care, which is helpful. I think the second thing is, you know, when we started looking at digital well-being, it was initially quite an individual focus. We were looking at, you know, social media apps and Facebook and YouTube and so on. But I think a lot of people in the workplace, particularly maybe people who are maybe later in their careers, who maybe never used Facebook and Snapchat and so on, are actually now starting to live in a world where a lot of these features are in their day-to-day lives. So, for example, a lot of companies have now moved from predominantly an email method of communication to much more social media type methods of communication, like maybe Slack or, you know, the various Microsoft tools or Salesforce tools. And so it's almost like people we spoke to 3 years ago who weren't on Facebook are now coming us to saying, hang on, I feel like I'm having the consequences of someone who is connected to social media all the time. So I feel like many of the challenges we face at the consumer level are now being adapted into the workplace as workplace products evolve, whether they're corporate or even just somebody who has to spend a lot more time on LinkedIn as part of their job. And I think the final thing we've seen is obviously much more of Generation Z and I suppose the tail end of what we would call millennials starting in the workplace. And that even in 10 years, there can be quite a shift from a young person who's maybe, you know, had a smartphone introduced to them when they were 16 and 17 as a new product versus a young person who's you know, lived this world for 10 years and grown up with it. So I think there's almost a real storm of different challenges coming together in organizations. But at the same time, this means a lot more organizations are now seeing the technology piece as a really important element to get right.
To that end, I know that a lot of the work that you've been doing at Unplug, you've done a lot of, say, academic work and got a lot of academic partners, because even though the technology is a problem for organizations that you work with, are you finding now that the research is catching up to support some of the solutions that you're finding, but also answer some of the questions that these companies have?
Yeah, I think it is interesting, you know, what motivates behavior change in companies. Certainly, there is a much more research, there is much larger bodies of evidence that we can point to help companies make business cases. And that's certainly helpful. But, you know, I will say, you know, when we started out, science was something, and evidence-based solutions were something that were at the heart of what we did. And academics would nearly laugh at us. You know, they'd say, you're talking about digital well-being. But I've been telling people since 1988, email was a terrible communication tool and a terrible distraction. And now the world is just catching up. So I think the research is certainly coming along. But I think often the corporate sector, they're not immediately driven by academic and research solutions. I think a lot of organizations we speak to, they're going, look, what is the business benefit or what is the people benefit of making this change? Or they really are looking for a clear solution. They go, okay, look, we know email isn't as effective. We know maybe, you know, we could use Slack more effectively, but what do you have? You know, you're an external consultant. What are you going to add to this conversation, or what difference are you going to make?
It's interesting to see how the discussion has evolved over time. Whereas in the past, people would have been more concerned with, you know, kind of quote unquote technology addiction, the overuse of smartphones. Now, I think it sounds from like what you're saying, the impact of digital or technological saturation on employees within the company itself is something now that businesses are really starting to look at and take seriously.
Absolutely. And I think they're really starting to feel the consequences of that. I think at the heart of most conversations we have with organizations, and probably the reason most organizations engage with our services, is they say, look, we have an abundance of technology at our fingertips. You know, our average employee has a smartphone, has a laptop, has a whole bunch of software and company intranets and so on. They can communicate, they can do work any time of the day or night. And yet our challenge is, we are not getting the desired results. We have spent, you know, millions or maybe even tens of millions putting in these systems, trying to make the workplace better. And yet our employees are coming back to us saying, we can't focus, we're distracted, we're being pinged at all hours of the day and night. Our work-life boundaries have completely blurred. That impacts our personal life. And if anything, although many companies have moved to open plan offices, the feedback from many employees is almost, we don't know each other. We're not having these face-to-face conversations that we used to have that help us build communication, that helped us build trust, that helped us really build a high-performing team. Because at the heart of a high-performing team, a heart of a high-performing culture, is people that really trust each other.
Aidan, I'm really interested to know, because we've been talking at quite a high level. What are some examples that you can share of the ways that companies are either using or engaging with technology to support either their staff or other people that they serve to do their best work?
Yeah, I think, a lot of our work in Unplug is actually helping organizations come to a shared understanding, come to a set of shared principles as to how technology benefits them and also how they want to engage with technology. So I'll give you a very simple example. We were working with a law firm recently that decided to move from their email-based platform to Slack. And as most of your listeners probably know, Slack can often be a much more informal, a much more relaxed, instant messaging style communication. And the problem was that some of their workforce were signing on to Slack, writing really formal email style emails. So they'd send a Slack message and they might start, you know, "Dear Lawrence," for example. Whereas other members were saying, okay, well, this is informal and casual, that they were going on and writing, you know, "Hey, how are you? What's up?" 4 smiley faces. And in a legal firm, as you can imagine, people have quite strong views on what is proper and what is correct. And it really led to an inherent conflict in the organization, because you had one group of people feeling the others were being unprofessional and too casual, and the others feeling that this other group of people were being too formal. And really, the solution to that is to the company to clarify its own values in relation to that. I think sometimes one of the mistakes I feel some of my colleagues in the digital wellbeing movement make is they try and put out a one-size-fits-all solution. And really, I think one of the things a company can do is understand their values and understand what they represent before pushing technology out or pushing solutions out to thousands of their employees. In the same way, for example, I often get asked the question from parents, you know, when do I give my child a smartphone? And the answer to that can be quite nuanced. It can depend on, you know, the maturity of your child, how familiar they are with technology, you as a parent, etc. And in the same way you would have a conversation with your teenager before giving them a smartphone, what we really help organizations do is have conversations with their employees before rolling out new projects, or if they feel current projects aren't working, to help them navigate that. And you'll forgive me for my psychologist's view, but I really think adults in the workforce are just slightly grown up versions of teenagers. So the same principles slightly apply.
So also, Aidan, I know that in addition to the work that you've been doing with Unplug, you've also been working with other big organizations to on their digital well-being projects as well, and in particular Google with their digital well-being projects. And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit more about the work that you've been doing there.
You know, another example I think is the importance of leadership in setting the culture. So for example, here in Dublin, Sinead McSweeney, who is the managing director of Twitter in Ireland, has a policy in team meetings that says these meetings are going to be device free. That, you know, if you are someone who has taken the time to come to senior management, present your ideas, us as managers owe us your time and our attention, and not just to be looking at our laptops. And I think that's a really interesting example, because not many of us would associate Twitter as an organization as somewhere that would want to be device free. And yet Sinead McSweeney has come out publicly and stated, you know, this is actually leading us to better outcomes. People feel more respectful, people feel more engaged. And if we bring people into a meeting and they cannot check their emails or distract themselves or multitask, they're going to be really engaged in that meeting, including telling us maybe that this meeting is a waste of time, or I don't need to be in this meeting, or a whole bunch of other stuff. So, you know, I think if even organizations like Twitter are developing an openness to this, and we also see many other tech companies actually taking leadership roles in digital well-being, the benefits can really translate to lots and lots of organizations.
But what would you see, putting on your, looking in your crystal ball, but what would you see is the future for organizations once they start to not only think about, but apply, rigorously apply some of the solutions to the technology or digital saturation that you've been speaking about?
I think, you know, a lot of business leaders, when you sit down with them one-on-one, they will kind of have this conversation where they feel like we've almost gone through a romance period with technology. To use the analogy of, you know, when you start a new relationship and you can't get enough of the other person, you think they're wonderful, you think they're fantastic. But often that's a slightly idealistic version of that other person. I think many business leaders were given the message or believed the message that, you know, to get the best results in your organization, you've got to have the latest thing. And I think now there is a much more of a healthy skepticism and a cautiousness about digital transformation and about the latest technology, because I think their feeling is the latest technology in and of itself doesn't guarantee better results. And I hope as we kind of continue this conversation into maybe VR in the workplace and AI in the workplace and augmented reality in the workplace and remote working and all of these other things that are coming down the line, we can say not just, you know, what's the latest technology and how do we get it, but actually how do we integrate this technology into our organization so that it really gives us better results and that people enjoy working with it. And I think the companies that do that will really be seen as leaders, be seen as desirable places to work, and will have better business results.
Where can people find out more about you and the work you're doing and connect with you?
Yeah, so our main website is unplughq.com. We did try and purchase unplug.com, but it was for sale for over €1 million. So what didn't quite have the budget for that in 2015 when we started, but so unplughq.com, which was a lot less than €1 million. But yeah, we're always happy to answer questions, or you know, if you're a HR leader, if you're looking at this through a workplace setting, you know, we feel we have a lot of experience. We've certainly, you know, learned a lot in the last 3 years, and we're glad to be of help if we can.
Fantastic. Well, look, Aidan, thanks so much for spending time with us today. And it's been a real pleasure having you on the show at last.
Thank you so much, Lawrence. My pleasure.